Joining us on Front and Center is Alyssa DeJong. She is Vice President of Research at the Connecticut Economic Resource Center. And Alyssa, welcome to Front and Center.
Thank you so much, Dan, for having me.
Alyssa, first of all, as an overview, how about explaining to our audience what the Connecticut Economic Resource Center is all about?
Sure. CERC is a private nonprofit organization. We're located in Rocky Hill, Connecticut, and our mission is to promote Connecticut as a good business location. We also help people and companies who are trying to grow their businesses or start their businesses, and we also provide research and information about how to start their companies.
Now, you recently wrote a piece on the website ctbythenumbers.news, headline Perspective, How Brexit Could Impact Connecticut Companies. And that's one of the reasons why we have you on Front and Center today. And, you know, as an overview, how might Brexit end up impacting Connecticut?
Sure. You know, there's a lot of different ways that people and analysts are speculating. And Brexit stands for Britain's exit of the European Union. Just in June, the voters in the United Kingdom made that decision to have the UK exit the European Union. And so this has never happened before. No other country has decided to do this. And so there's a lot of uncertainty around it, around what might happen once the UK formally dismantles itself from the European Union. There's a few different ways that we think that Connecticut companies could be affected. And first of all, there are those companies who are focused on exporting goods and services to Europe. And usually when there's something very major happening in the political and economic environment, like Brexit, it creates a lot of uncertainty. And when that happens, there's a lot of consumer sentiment and demand for goods and services can decrease. And so that could affect companies that are exporting a lot of goods and services over to Europe.
Now, as you write, the UK happens to be the seventh largest export destination for the state of Connecticut, correct?
Yes.
What sort of products do we export to the UK?
We actually export a number of pharmaceutical components there, and we're also importing a number of pharmaceutical components to the UK. There's a lot going back and forth in terms of that industry and goods and services. One of Connecticut's major exports to both France and Germany is aerospace components. So we see a lot of aerospace airplane parts, and then pharmaceutical components are really what drives a lot of Connecticut's exports to other countries.
Now, is that right, by the way, that France and Germany are Connecticut's top destinations for exports?
Yes, France is Connecticut's top, and Germany is Connecticut's third, and Canada is second.
And again, most of it is the result of aerospace exports, is that right?
Yes. And so when there's kind of a decrease in demand, when there's uncertainty in the economy, when we start to see a possible recession or some sort of downward decline in an economy, the demand for those types of goods and services can sometimes decrease. And so we're expecting to see a decrease in those types of exports in the coming years.
Now, as you write in the piece, the UK also serves as a gateway to the European Union. How might that affect Connecticut?
Sure. So there are a number of larger companies that not only have U.S. headquarters, but they also have European headquarters. And so right now, since the UK is part of the European Union, if a company has a headquarters located within the UK, then they are allowed to trade, to move their goods and services very easily among the European Union without having to renegotiate tariffs or other types of trade regulations. Now, once Brexit takes its full effect and the UK is no longer part of the European Union, if there are any companies that have business locations in the UK, they won't be considered part of the EU, and all of those trade negotiations and regulations would have to be kind of rethought and renegotiated. And so companies will either have to spend the time and money renegotiating all of those contracts, or they may want to just move their headquarters to within the European Union. Either way, it's going to take time and cost them money.
Well, and essentially what you are saying is time is money, and you look
right.
at productivity and you wonder how this could affect productivity when you're worrying about negotiating things you didn't have to worry about before, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Now, from the perspective of the actual implementation of Brexit, it's going to take, what, about 2 years for us to get a read on this? What are we looking at here?
Yeah, about 2 years. So what will happen now is over the next 2 years, the UK will be negotiating with the leaders of the European Union to figure out what this dismantling is going to look like, because there's both a kind of political, you know, they're tied politically as well as economically. So you know, no other country has entered into these types of negotiations before. So it's still a little uncertain and unclear what this is going to look like and how long it's going to take.
Now, when we look at the overall picture, there is this snapshot of uncertainty. How does that affect companies? I mean, companies like to have things as certain as possible, right?
Exactly. That's true, Dan. I mean, this isn't just something, an issue that's going to that's not going to just affect larger companies, the ones that are exporting or the ones that have European locations. Just when there's a general sense of uncertainty, you know, when we hear that the stock markets in other countries are volatile or they're decreasing a lot, which we've seen in the European Union, we've been seeing that in some Asian markets lately as well, that can just affect general demand for goods and services. And so we're kind of anticipating that we're anticipating a bit of a, if not a recession in the European Union, then some sort of economic downturn. And when that happens, when demand decreases, it can affect a host of different companies and the demand for their goods and services.
Do we have many small businesses exporting to the UK, exporting to Germany, exporting to France?
We sure do. I mean, we talked about aerospace and pharmaceuticals before. And there are a lot of supplier companies, smaller supplier companies, that are making very specific instruments and parts for scientific research, as well as for you know, airplanes and other types of vehicles. And there are a lot of those types of companies here in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. Give us, as an overview, aside from Brexit and our exports overseas, just some success stories of businesses here in Connecticut. What can you tell our audience?
Oh, sure. You know, we have seen, we've been seeing some growth lately in the healthcare industry, as well as in the education industry. And we're seeing also a lot of interest from other countries, people, entrepreneurs, folks that have small businesses and mid-sized businesses, really showing an interest in the U.S. as well as Connecticut, because Connecticut and the U.S. of course is outperforming a number of other countries around the world. And so the U.S. and our region of the country, they're both seen as a very safe investment for a number of different companies. And so we're seeing a lot of interest in companies from abroad moving into the area.
I thought I heard where a software company recently relocated to Stamford. Does that ring a bell?
Yes, I think you're right, Dan. Yes.
And I guess that essentially illustrates what you're talking about is
right.
The interest in Connecticut, right?
Absolutely. And I think this Brexit, while there'll be, and we talked so much about uncertainty and that affecting exports, on the flip side, we could really see a lot of interest in European companies wanting to move into Connecticut because there will be more certainty here relative to the European Union.
We hear a lot about Connecticut's skilled / educated workforce, how much does that factor into the equation?
It factors in quite a bit, actually, because companies that are moving into Connecticut are coming for the skilled workforce. Connecticut can't necessarily compete regarding low cost. You know, we're not really an area where we're seeing manufacturing done on production lines and things like that. But where Connecticut really has a niche is in this skilled workforce, in research and development or R&D, in developing prototypes, in discovering new ideas and concepts. And that's where the skilled workforce is so important.
And I would imagine from where you sit, that's in many cases paramount for some of these companies, that maybe they'd rather pay a little bit more in taxes or whatever, but they could certainly offset that if they're dealing with an educated workforce, right?
Yes, that's absolutely true.
Mm-hmm. How about down the road? What's exciting? What do you see on in your crystal ball for the state?
I actually think that these companies from other countries moving into the state could really show a bit of a boost for Connecticut. You know, we're seeing when we look at population changes over time, we're seeing that Connecticut's population is being maintained because of a lot of immigration. And that's bringing in new cultures, new ideas, new skills. And I think to that end, you know, we're bringing in this skilled workforce from other countries. I think we're seeing now other companies coming from other countries as well. And I think that could create a lot of dynamism here in the state.
Talking with Alyssa DeJong on Front and Center. She's Vice President of Research at the Connecticut Economic Resource Center. Alyssa, how can businesses utilize the services offered by CIRC?
Sure. We do have a website. It's www.cerc.com. And on that website, it will show the municipal services we offer, the business recruitment, the business services if entrepreneurs are looking to start or expand their company, as well as the research services we provide.
And I'm guessing that, the state has a lot of services, and it's just a question of the public or businesses wanting to learn about those services. And is this almost one-stop shopping going to your website?
It is, absolutely. If you have a question about starting or expanding your business, we can point you in the right direction to where to go. We can help you with licensing questions. If there's a research question, we can point you in the right direction. We'll either get the information for you or tell you who you need to speak with.
Before we wrap up our interview, getting back to your piece, which again appeared on the website ctbythenumbers.news, headline, Perspective, How Brexit Could Impact Connecticut Companies. Just as an overview then, to wrap this interview up, what would you say? We just got to keep an eye on things, but it could have an impact?
I think so. I mean, I think that it's going to be very interesting to watch how this Brexit unfolds over time. I think there are some risks for some Connecticut companies because we have such close ties with the European Union. But on the other hand, there could be some opportunities in terms of other companies moving to Connecticut because of an investment potential and some other opportunities like that as well.
And I would imagine that if there is this movement throughout the union for other companies to have a similar exit, if you will, that could have an impact too.
Oh, absolutely. I think other countries are, it'll be interesting to see what other countries are considering an exit as well. I think there's a few probably waiting to consider doing the same thing that the UK is doing.
Before we put a lid on our interview, I always like to ask our guests, in your case, what fascinates you about the economy? Are you engaged in an activity that you have a passion for?
That's related to the economy?
Yeah, I mean, some,
yeah. Yeah. So when I'm not being an economist, I am doing a lot of volunteer work for Mercy High School in Middletown. And it's really interesting there to, you know, help work with the high school students and really to help them kind of develop and into new members of the workforce and see their potential. And so, and it gives me a lot of hope for the future in terms of our potential workforce.
Well, that's good to hear. Now, where did you develop your interest in economics?
In economics, I always had an interest in math and how I could apply that math. And what really got me into looking at the economy and economic development was that I saw, you know, such potential. Connecticut has so many things to offer, but we also have some regions, especially some cities and some urban areas, that are in need for some redevelopment and some new ideas. And so I wanted to find a way to both help the state in which I grew up, and then also use my math skills.
There seems to be, by the way, an interest, particularly among the millennial demographic, to want to move back to downtowns. Do you see that?
Oh, absolutely. Finding interesting places where millennials, and we're seeing this too with the baby boomer generation, where people don't necessarily need a car. They can kind of get around from place to place and different destinations easily, either on mass transit or just by walking or biking. It's definitely becoming a movement that's generating a lot of interest for municipalities and trying to figure out how to meet that demand.
Exciting times in a way, right?
Absolutely.
Alyssa, before we wrap up our interview, anything else you'd like to add?
I want to thank you for having me, and I do think that the economy is definitely something that we're going to be talking about for months to come, not just with Brexit, but then there's, of course, the election and what will happen after that. So many things to talk about in terms of the economy. It's
never,
great.
Never a dull moment, right?
That's right.
Alyssa DeJong, Vice President of Research at CIRC, has been our guest. Alyssa, thanks for joining us on Front and Center.
Great. Thanks so much for having me, Dan. Have a great day.
You too.